through that way. We're still in the book of John. We still have a few more weeks in the book of John. And I'm going to ask today that you would open up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to be looking at another one of Jesus's I am statements about how he identified himself. And so John chapter 14, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word, up, down today, isn't it? You'll stand for the reading of God's word. Shannon, one of our deacons, our men's minister, and he pours into our students also, is going to read our passage today. Shannon?
Thanks, Kyle. So John 14, verses 1 through 7. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
And you can go ahead and be seated. This weekend, Amy and I had to take a little trip over to Knoxville. And as we were traveling, I don't know if this ever happens to you, things pop into my mind and I can't get rid of them. And then I have to kind of search them out. As we're traveling, I began to think about, you know, I'm so thankful that I'm not walking to Knoxville. Kind of crazy, I know, but I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm not riding in a covered wagon, riding a donkey. This is amazing. As we start getting over Crossville, you get over it, you know, you start making the bend around, you see where the roads have been cut, you see those little lines down the side of the rock face where they put dynamite, that's where they've blasted and everything, and they've cleared out. And that kind of got me thinking, and this is where I kind of nerded out, to be real honest with you. I started looking at, when do roads come about? How did that happen? I know, I do this. I'm sorry, it's a curse, I think. But you know, I began to realize that roads really came into being, like our modern road system. You know, you had trails, you had paths, but modern road systems really happened with the Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, they began to, because everything centered on Rome, and they began to make roads all across the empire so that everyone could get back to Rome. You ever heard all roads lead to Rome? Yeah, that saying. Well, that was really true because they would, all the road systems would go out. You'd have like the Via Appia, the Via Militaris, the Via, well, in Jerusalem, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you've heard of the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Via is the way. It's the road system. And the Romans, they perfected roads so that their military could rule and conquer and do all of those things. A trade and commerce, they first worked with paving, like multiple layers of paving so that water could drain. In the cities, they are the very first ones to put curbing so water could move away. They also, because we have seen these around the world, if you've done any traveling, anywhere in Europe, you can find markers that are Roman markers that will tell you this way to Rome and the distance from where you are back to Rome, which is where you get all roads lead to Rome. We use that slogan or that term today many times to mean that, well, in Texas, we say six to one, half dozen another, basically meaning it all kind of comes out. Everything leads back to one place. All roads lead to Rome. You go your way, you can go your way. All roads lead back to Rome, though. Listen, the passage that we're in today in John chapter 14, in my opinion, is the most well-known of the I am statements. It's coupled as one statement, one I am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But really what he's saying is that he is three things. He is three I ams in here. And so as he's talking about this, I want us to begin to kind of catch what's going on. So today, the last 2 weeks, we've been in John chapter 10. We're jumping ahead a few chapters to John chapter 14. I want you to keep a bookmark at John 10 because we're going to refer back to it in just a few moments. But in John chapter 14, Jesus opens up and he is talking to the disciples. And really, John chapter 14 is connected to 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. I love having chapters and verses, but many times they can get in the way of the Bible. If you understand what I mean, because they break things up, and we study and look by chapters. But really, to get what's going on in chapter 14, you have to go back to chapter 13. If you'll humor me for just a few moments, and if you'll go with me, look back on the other page or turn over on John chapter 13. At the end of John chapter 13, Jesus is speaking. Look at in verse 21. Jesus, the passage in John 13, 21, it says that Jesus is troubled in his spirit. Probably he's troubled in his spirit because in Luke it talks about that that Satan, the enemy, has entered into Judas. So Jesus recognizes this. They're at the Last Supper. This is all taking place in the upper room. And it says his spirit is troubled. His disciples begin to notice that his spirit is troubled. And then Jesus tells them that he's leaving. He says, I'm leaving and you're going to look for me, but you're not going to find me. Can you imagine the disciples sitting around going, wait a minute, we've been following you for 3 years and you're telling us you're leaving and we're not going to be able to find you? You're like dishing on us right now? You got to be kidding me. In 36, Peter being Peter, he says, Jesus, where are you going? Jesus says, you're not going to know. You can't go. Peter says, I will go. Listen, I'll go wherever you go. In fact, I want you to know I'm willing to die for you. In verse 38, look at verse 38. I believe it's 38. Verse 38, Jesus says, oh, you will lay your life down for me, but not tonight. Tonight, you're going to deny me 3 times. You see, you've got to see what's happening in 13 to understand what it is that Jesus is saying in 14. Here Jesus is sitting at his table, the last night of his life, physical life. He will be raised from the dead in 3 more days. But he's sitting there with his last meal, and he says, guys, listen, I'm very troubled. One of you is going to sell me out. One of you is going to deny me, and I'm leaving. This is the mood happening in there. And it's into that in John chapter 14 that Jesus says. Look at what he says in verse 1. He looks at them. They're full of doubt. They're full of confusion. There's anxiety. There's longing. There's what's happening. And Jesus says this to them. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. In this room right now, at this very moment, right now, at this very moment, you've come, you got up. You've sung, or maybe you've sat here listening to singing. You've seen prayers. But some of you in here today, you're very troubled. Like, your spirit is troubled. There may be death. There may be denial. There may have been people who have turned their back on you. There may be situations in your life right now, in this very moment, and your heart is troubled. I need you to understand. This is how important this is. That Jesus' words are for you today. He says this, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. How is it that Jesus could say this to them? Because notice how he finishes verse 1. He finishes verse 1 by saying this, if you believe in God, you believe in God. Believe in God, trust. You trust in God. You have faith in God. You believe in God. You trust in God. Then trust also in me. That is the same word that he has for us today. That no matter where you are, no matter the trouble, no matter the churn in your spirit, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, he says, believe also in me. What Jesus is doing right here, I've spoken this to you now for the last 4 weeks. When you hear Jesus say, I am, he is declaring equality with God. In fact, in verse 9, we won't get to verse 9 today, but in verse 9, he says, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. He's claiming equality with God. In verse 1, he says, listen, if you believe in God, believe also in me. If you trust him, trust me. If you have faith in him, have faith in me. He's claiming equality with God right here. And he says, I am trustworthy. Folks, I want you to hear this. Jesus is trustworthy today. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what has been thrown at you or done to you. Jesus is trustworthy. Look how he goes on into verse 2, 3, and 4. I love this passage. John chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. He says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Circle, I will. That is a promise, all right? He doesn't have to say, Jesus doesn't have to say, I promise you. What Jesus says, he does. He says, so when he says, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Here's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. In the midst of death, in the midst of denial, in the midst of betrayal, in the midst of whatever you're facing, you can trust me. Listen, I'm about to go to my Father. He is speaking about, some would say he's speaking about his impending death the next morning. I believe that he's speaking about that I'm about to go to heaven. I'm about to go to my Father. I'm about to go to his home. And I'm going to go there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a room for you. I'm going to make sure. Listen, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And I need to make sure you hear that. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You do not just happen to get there. He says, I'm going, and if I'm going to go, I'm going to return. And I am coming back for you. He's saying this to his disciples who are sitting there. All of you who have trusted in me, I'm going to go. Listen, all the trouble that you're about to face, I'm trustworthy. In the midst of it, I'm trustworthy. You're going to look for me. You're not going to find me, but I promise you, I'm coming back because where I am, I want you to be there also. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, we've heard over and over how Peter is the mouthpiece of the disciples. Not tonight. Not tonight. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, Thomas speaks up, and Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. He didn't say, I don't. He says, we. He's speaking for the time. We don't know where you're going. In fact, because we don't know where you're going, we don't know the way. You get he's talking about destination, don't you? He goes, I don't know where you're about to head, so how am I going to know how to get there? And it's into that. Look at 6. It's into that. He says, how are we to know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. Listen, hey, boys, catch this. I've told you I'm the living bread. I'm the only one that can satisfy. I've told you that I am the light of the world. I'm the only way that lights the path to reconciliation with God. I've told you that I am the door. No one comes into my sheepfold except through me. I've told you that I am the good shepherd. I'm telling you tonight, I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And then he goes on to say that no one goes to the Father except through him. This is his claim of exclusivity. I don't know if you've heard me say this before. If you have, pardon me. This is the offense of the gospel. This is why I tell you, get to Jesus quickly. Get to Jesus when you're talking to somebody. You can invite them to church all day. You know, you can invite them to church, but do you know what changes people? It's Jesus that changes people. He's the one. This is the offense of the gospel. Now, with all of that in the background, I want to get to my 3 points, and I bet you know what my 3 points are. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Do you know why those 3 points are so glaring right there? You know why I chose those? Because I'm a simple man. Literally, I'm a simple man. And it has to be on the bottom shelf for me. And I'm just simple enough to believe this to be real and true. So let's talk about him being the way real quickly. You've heard me say before that Amy and I are from the Dallas, Texas area. That's where Amy and I, my wife, her name is Amy, if you're new here. We're from the Dallas, Texas area, and there are a lot of ways for us to get to Dallas. You know, I can get on Interstate 65, 840 to 65. I can go down 65, and eventually we'll hit Interstate 20, and I can go due west, and I'll run right into Dallas. I can go to Memphis on Interstate 40, and I can get to Memphis, and if I really want to tick Arkansas off, I can take 55 and go all the way down 55 to Interstate 20 and go straight into Texas, into Dallas. I can take Interstate 40 all the way across Oklahoma, and I can go across Oklahoma and hit Interstate 35 and go straight into Dallas. There are many, many ways for you to get to Dallas, to 30A, to get to Fort Walton Beach, to get to Pigeon Forge, to get to the north. I don't know why you want to go north, but if you need to go north, there's many, many ways for you to get where you need to get. But I need you to hear, there's only one way to eternal life, the scripture tells us. There's only one way. That's it. Only one way. And I can get all kinds of amens about that in a room full of believers. Here's the thing that gets me, though, is that when we come and we trust Christ for one way to salvation, what happens often, the further we get away from the cross, we start trying other ways. We stop forgetting about what he did on the cross, and we start experimenting with this way, and I'm going to try this path. I'm going to look at this. Folks, I need you to know what got you into heaven, what was true that Jesus said in the first century is still true in the 21st century. Jesus says, I am the way to God. I'm the only way to God. Every other way that you want to try is a dead end. It leads to death, destruction, depression, whatever other D you want to put in there. It will lead you to there. It leads to that. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6 again. In verses 4, 5, and 6, you see the term, the way, mentioned three different times. Three different times he talks about the way. What Jesus is trying to drive home to Thomas and the disciples and to you and me today is this, is that he is the only way. He's the only way. He says, if you will follow me alone, nothing else. If you follow me alone, where I go, you'll go. You need to catch this. If you follow me alone and you follow me where I end up, you're going to get there. So much so, you know how I'm going to make sure? I'm going to come get you and take you there. He says, I'm not going to leave my own. No man, no woman, no child left behind. He says, if you follow me, you know what that's called? Faith. It's not just faith to get into heaven. It's faith each and every morning. It's getting up and not having an idea about which way to go and saying, God, I don't know what to do today. I don't mean literally what to do, but in your situation. In this relationship, in this medical situation, in this financial situation, in this parent-child relationship. God, I don't know. I need the way. And you know what Jesus will do? He will provide the way. He will guide you. But it will only be by faith. Many times you're going to look at it and go, this doesn't make sense. I don't know how this is going to work out. Oftentimes it's, I don't want to do that. But here's the deal. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's near the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see verse 1 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Now faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance. Being sure of something. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Listen, I know this is the direction of Dallas, and though I can't see Dallas, I know this is the direction I go. I know this is what, listen, my finances are messed up. I don't know how this is going to work out, but Jesus, I'm going to go your way with my finances. Jesus, my relationships are messed up. I don't know, listen, I'm not sure where it's going to go to, but I'm going to follow your direction. I'm going to follow your direction for relationships, your way. Believers in the room, can I say this to you? Oftentimes what we do is we hear this passage and we think evangelism, but do you realize the gospel is for our everyday life? The gospel is for every day. The good news that Jesus, you've now given me a way to think, to pray, to know what to do in you. Jesus, you are the way. And what Jesus is saying here, right here, I want you to be really clear on this. I want to be really clear. He's not saying there's a lot of ways. He says there's one way. There's not the eightfold path of the Buddhist. There's not the reincarnation of the Hindus. There's not the five pillars of Islam. There's not the path of eternal progression to one day being a god that the Mormons speak of. There's not the keeping of the law that Judaism speaks of. Did you realize it's not even keeping the sacraments? The scripture tells us, Jesus himself said, there's only one way to heaven, and it is through me. It is by faith alone, through grace alone, through Jesus Christ alone. And the only way we know that is through his scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. That is the way of life. That is the way to eternal life. That's it. Here's the second thing he says, though. Not only is he the way, he's the truth. Remember, Jesus is encouraging them. He's speaking hope to them in the middle of what they're facing. And I want to remind you that where you are today, he's speaking hope to you. If you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, he's the way, and he says, and I'm telling you the truth. In our world today, we're dying to find out where we can trust. Where can we get the truth? Think of your news outlets. Is it 2, 4? Is it 10? Is it Fox? Is it CNN? Is it Wall Street Journal? Washington Post? Is it a YouTube channel that you can trust where there's some person there? Listen, you know what else? We go to the doctor. You see one doctor and you get what they say, and then you seek out a second opinion, which leads to a third opinion. Some of you are sitting in here today and you're going, can I trust what my spouse is telling me? Can I trust what my mom has said? They've lied to me about all these things. Can I trust what my boss is telling me at work? Do they really have my best interest? You see, we're dying, looking for truth. Many people in here would say, listen, I don't need to find truth. I have my own truth. This is my truth. You heard that before? This is my truth. Maybe true for you, but this is my truth. Do you know what the scripture tells us of that? That the heart is deceitful above all things. We don't even know our own hearts. Our own hearts lie to us. And yet into this, where people are looking for truth. In fact, in John 18, when Pilate was talking to Jesus, interrogating him before he is to be crucified, Pilate asked Jesus, he said, so you're the king of the Jews. And Jesus said, you speak truth. I didn't say that. You speak truth. And you know, and Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? Maybe this is real simple here. Can I tell you what truth is? Really, can I tell you who truth is? Jesus is truth. What do I base that on? His word. Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth. So in today's world, where you are right now, all the answers that you're trying to find and you're going, I can't find the right answer, can I tell you Jesus is the answer? He's the answer to the situation that you're in. I don't know how to make my money balance. I don't know how to make my relationships balance. I don't know how to correct this. Can I tell you that Jesus has told us all we need to know in his word? Some of you are going, Kyle, that's way too simple. I told you I'm a simple man. And I believe this. I've seen this happen time and time again. Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the truth you're looking for. I'm the peace that you're looking for. I'm the wisdom that you're looking for. Back in the early 90s, there was a gospel singer and songwriter. His name was Andre Crouch. Andre Crouch wrote a gospel song. It was one of the early choruses that used to be sung in church, and it was called Jesus is the Answer. The name of the lyric of it, part of the lyric is this: Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know the decisions that you're trying to make. I don't know I don't know where your path is headed. You know what the strange thing is you don't either. But we do know the one who does know that, he knows the way. And I do know, and I hold to you, that Jesus is the truth you're looking for. He is the God in flesh. In good times and bad times, in hills and valleys, in mountain peaks, Jesus is the answer. And he says, I will never leave you. Oh, I'm leaving for a brief time, but I need you to know I'm coming back to you. The disciples still can't catch it. They start arguing among themselves. He starts talking about the helper that he's going to send. Turn over a couple of pages to chapter 16. In chapter 16 of John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to them, and he says this to them. It's kind of like he doesn't throw his hands up with us, thank the Lord. I'm so thankful. But he says this. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Why is he telling the truth? Why does he say that? Because he is the truth. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. How do we know that to be true? Because he is the truth. How do we know that to be true? Because those of you who have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you now have the indwelling Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ who now lives within you. Who guides you in truth. This is what Jesus said he's going to do. Jesus, the living truth, sent the one who was going to teach us all truth to live within us so that we would know exactly where to go and what to do. In that moment, God, I know this is where you're leading me. It doesn't feel like, but I'm going to walk your way because you're truth, and I'm going to trust that. Do you know that's called faith? It's called faith. And Hebrews 11:1, go back there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to him, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Guys, did you hear that? If you're in here today and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, you know the scripture tells us that we have to come to him in faith and say, I'm going to trust you. You're the only way. Those of us in here who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, when we don't know the way in the moment that we're in, when we are questioning, I need an answer, I don't have an answer, then we come to Christ and we say, Christ, you're the only way. I need your truth. And I'm going to walk in that, regardless of how I feel right this moment. I'm going to walk in the truth. Jesus, what you've called me towards, I'm going to take faith in you, and I'm going to walk in that. He's the way, he's the truth, and number three, he is the life. He's the life. In chapter 10, turn back over to chapter 10 for just a moment. Chapter 10 of John, Jesus is speaking, and you can see there at the beginning of chapter 10, he talks about that he is the door. Remember that? He says he was the door. And you remember what a door does on a sheepfold? It keeps out the false shepherds, keeps out the thieves and the robbers. What do thieves and robbers come to do according to John 10:10? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says that he's the good shepherd, and the shepherd has come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Do you remember what abundant life means? It means overflowing. It means fill it to the rim, and then it runs over. He says, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it to the overflowing, that your spiritual life, that in the midst of you not knowing where to go, in the midst of you not knowing the right answer, life is going to well up in you because I am alive in you. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit indwells in you. And in the midst of that, you're going to have peace and joy that is unexplainable. In fact, he says there's a peace that passes all understanding. He says, this is what real life looks like. Jesus gave his life so that you and I might have real life. You know, I haven't done it in a while. This is me preaching on this subject, on this passage. It means I'm going to have to. I can donate blood. Any of you have blood donors? Make sure you donate blood. All right, you can donate blood. Donating blood's good. Do you know there's a man in our church? I don't know if he's in this service or the next. We'll talk. But he has received a kidney donation from someone else in the church. He's alive today because someone donated a kidney to him. Those are incredible things. But I want you to hear this. Jesus didn't donate something to us. He died for you. For you and for me. In fact, the scripture says, no greater love has this than a man would lay down his life. He would lay his life out. Jesus gave it all. Why? Because he is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only way to real life that is right before God. And I want to come back because in this room, I know there are some of you in here. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you. In fact, I'm pleading with you. Would you give your life to Christ? Would you come to him today? I do my best each week to try to pray over the word, plead with the Lord, preach a message that, Lord, would you use it? So I'm asking, would you come to Christ today? Can I also say to you in here who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I study, I pray, I try to craft a message by the Spirit to plead with you to quit chasing after life in places that are going to lead to dead ends. I try to bring the truth of the word because there are so many people in here who are listening to falsehoods today that are leading them to paths of destruction. And I believe this word is the only thing that will change you. This is it. You know, in my study this week, I came across a video. It's an old video. It's a video of a billionaire media mogul, false prophet named Oprah Winfrey. It's an old video. I tried to look to see, did she update it? And I can find nowhere where she's repudiated the words that she spoke. This isn't a preacher story. I saw it with my eyes. You can go see it. Some of you are thinking, well, what do you mean false prophet? Listen to her words. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is to believe that there's only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you may call God. Found another quote by a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, an American Jewish rabbi. He's labeled America's rabbi. His name is Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. Here's what Rabbi Shmuley Boteach says. Remember, this is a Jewish man. I should say he's of the Reform. He's a Reformed Jewish rabbi. In the Judaism world, reform does not mean like conservative. It means progressive and liberal. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm absolutely against any religion that says that one faith is superior to another. I don't see how that is any different than spiritual racism. It's a way of saying that we are closer to God than you, and that's what leads to hatred. Can I say this with as much love from the bottom of my heart? In fact, can I read you what Jesus' words are? Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. I don't care your money. I don't care your height, your weight, male, female. It doesn't matter to me if you are Republican, Democrat, if you're pink, purple dotted. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. Jesus came so that you and I might have life. And it's only found in him. He says he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And the world will tell you that all roads lead up the mountain to the same place. The world will tell you that you can do this and you can do this, and however you want to get to God, you know, we're all going to get there one day. Can I tell you that we're all going to stand before him one day? We're all going to stand before him. But I can promise you that all roads do not lead to righteousness with God. Can I tell you that all roads don't lead to Rome, but there is a road in Romans that leads to eternal life? If you'll bear with me, I want to walk you down that road for just a moment. If you got something, I'd love for you to write them down. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us this: therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, his name is Adam, and through that one man, that one sin, by that man, death came. By death came. And through that one man, death spread to all. If you were to take a left and circle back to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the writer, Paul, says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means all of us in here. I don't care if your granddaddy who was a preacher, your grandmother who loved it doesn't matter who. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:23 says this: for the wages of sin is death, something we earn. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says that he loved us so much, God loved us so much, that he demonstrated his love. He showed his love for us in this way, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The only way that we have a right standing before God is because Jesus came by the plan of God and he died for us while we were still sinners. This is how much he loved us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been justified, made clean, made righteous, we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. You've heard me spend time in Romans 10, verses 9 through 13 many times. To me, it summarizes the gospel so well. The passage says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Will be saved. That's a promise. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. And it's as if Paul said, hey, you don't believe me? Listen to it again. So he says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saves. You see, he repeats himself again. Skip down to verse 13. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. And in this room today, right here, there are some of you, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you will believe in your heart that Jesus is who he is, that he died for your sins, that he is the way, he is the truth, and the life, and you confess him as your Lord, Scripture says you'll be saved. That's a promise. He closes and he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus, I need you to forgive me. You're the way to God. You're the way to a right relationship. I believe the truth of your word. I want eternal life. You will be saved. And can I say this? Some of you are dancing around church. You've heard of Jesus, but you don't know him. You're involved in all of these good things, and they are good things. In fact, you're involved in all kinds of things that show you're a follower of Jesus, but you have never surrendered your life to Jesus and trusted only in him. You're trusting in all the other things. And today, he says, no one comes to the Father because they're baptized, No one comes to the Father because they give enough money. No one comes to the Father because they help old women across the street or old men across the street. Nobody can do enough. It's only by placing our faith in Jesus. Jesus, I need you. But that would be true of us as followers of Christ, wouldn't it? We come to Christ, and we're going to trust you for our eternal life, but you know what? I think I got it from here, God. It leads to death, destruction, depression. So today, let me ask you, would you come to life, life eternal, life abundant and free? Would you come to truth, the truth? Would you come to the only way? His name is Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you. I'm asking that you would take these meager words and, Father, you would use them for your glory's sake. Jesus, we magnify you today. Would you do a work in this room, Holy Spirit, the one who is all truth, the one who's called to remind us of what Jesus said and what he's done, to help us to see where we're standing. Jesus, I thank you that you love me, that you love us, that you've died for us as your children, and I'm asking today, would you call more children into your kingdom? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Today I'm going to ask that you stand around the room. We're going to sing. We're going to respond. I'm going to acknowledge I'm a little over. I'm sorry about that. But here's the deal. We cannot walk away from here today and not respond to his word. So we're going to sing. We're going to worship him. Maybe you have a tithe and offering that you need to give. Would you give that? Maybe you need to fill out one of those QR codes so that we can walk with each other. I'm going to be out at the back. I would love to be able to pray with you and to meet with you. Zion, you sing us as far as you want us to go, and then you release us, brother. Thank you.